Turn with me, please, to the book of the Psalms, and number 8. Psalm number 8. Verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who hast set thy glory above the heavens out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Now turn to the book of the Proverbs. Job, Psalms, and then Proverbs. And chapter 6. And verse number 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Now there's a final reference in the book of Hebrews, in the New Testament. And chapter 12, verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now go to chapter 2, please, of Hebrews. Verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Drop down, please, to verse number 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, unto thee. And chapter 10 for a final verse. Chapter 10 and verse number 12. But this man, Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sit down on the right hand of God. Now that's all we'll read, and I trust with what we have heard, God will help us to conclude the meeting upon these scriptures. Very simple message on my mind at the conclusion of this meeting. Really, we're going to look at three objects, and we're going to look at the object in the heavens. We're going to look at the object on the earth, and we're going to look at the object on the tree. We're going to look at the object of the heavens. The psalmist says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, and the results of his looking at that object of the heavens is this. He acknowledges his insignificance. And how grand it would be in this meeting if you understood, friend, your insignificance, not in the light of one another, but in the light of the majesty and power of God. For in the Psalm, number 8, the psalmist David, very clearly, very readily, there's no hesitation in his heart or mind as he views the heavens.
The work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. He cannot help but say automatically from his heart and soul, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? And I believe, friend, God leaves humanity without excuse by showing the very heavens, the work of his fingers, and the moon and the stars. Remember Psalm number 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. So God has shown by his creation and left we, poor, fallen, guilty humanity, without excuse. God will, I take it, in a coming day, if men refuse to accept God and his mighty power in creation and his power in redemption, will have brought to their attention in a coming day the creation that they beheld and looked upon. Many a woman has been brought firstly to think about their sin and salvation just by looking at the mighty expanse and beholding God's mighty creation. I was sitting in the Sky Train the other day. I don't mind that one. It's very good. It's cheap too. And we took it up and down a few times. And I happened to sit beside a lady. And I talked to her for a moment. I asked her where she was from. And she said, from the Fiji Islands. And then I told her I was from Ireland. Should have picked that up anyway, I'm sure. And after that, a little conversation, as we were talking, I just happened to think. I said, you know, I know a chap from the Fiji Islands. I heard him preach. In fact, I went to hear him every time he told his conversion. He packed halls. I seen him standing outside. And he come from the Fiji Islands, a young man about 25, 26 years of age. Strong and robust, fine-looking man. And when he told his conversion, it was most interesting. And it was this, and this brings it to mind. It was this. He was brought up never to understand the God of the Bible. He hadn't got a Bible. He was brought up in spiritism, in superstition, in bowing to gods. But he said, I always remember when I was a little boy, I used to look up into the vast expanse, and I used to say within my little mind, I wonder where it all come from. It touched my heart when he told he was a boxer, and he won a little money, and he left the Fiji Islands and landed in the street. And when he was walking down the street in one of the cities there, he bumped into some man, seemingly accidental, but God was in it. And as he turned around, they looked each other in the face, and the man said to this chap, he says, where are you going? And he says, I don't know, sir, I don't know. But he said, would you like to come with me? I'm going to a gospel meeting. And the boy looked at him and says, what do they speak about? He said, they speak about God. And as soon as he mentioned the word God, he said, yes, I'll go along. And he went to the meeting for about 7 nights. And in his own little bedroom, that man who first thought of the God of creation bows in the presence of the God of redemption, friends, and received Christ as a Savior through John 3:36. He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Many a person that acknowledges God, the Creator, will finally be brought to the Lord Jesus, friend, to recognize the great Redeemer. I hope tonight as you think of the heavens, we haven't got an answer for all the planets. And we haven't an answer, friend, for the vastness of God's universe. We can never explore it to its depths. No matter how brilliant, how genius we might be, friend, or scientific, or no matter whether we have astronomy in our minds, friend, we'll never ponder fully and grasp the immensity of God's creation. But this we do know. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I was asked one time to speak to a classroom, imagine, of grade 12, grade 11 and 12 students on this very subject. Never forget it. But you know, the thing about it is, We just had the joy of seeing one of those girls saved. She was in grade 12. And when they were teaching evolution and teaching about, we didn't know where we come from, and you have to kind of scratch your imagination, and you have to try to accept theories, and you have to try to go back and back and back until your mind boggles, and you don't know where, and there's a whole lot of theories thrown out by genius men and genius minds, and this little girl was being conscious, she didn't know the teacher, she said, I can't accept that. She said, I got saved the other night, and I trusted the Lord Jesus. I believe God created all things. And you know what happened? The teacher said, we're going to have a debate on it. And I'm going to bring along the professor. Could you get someone to come along with you, know? And I remember walking around to the house that day. I wasn't expecting this. And she looked at me and she said, Mr. Hall, I've made an appointment for you to come to meet the professor in the classroom of 12 and 11 students that want to debate on evolution and Christianity. Well, I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be seen. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing.
I remember as I set the 5 tape recorders going,
and then all the school teachers were 5 of them, and the rooms were packed, 2 classrooms, 90 folk in there. And I had my artillery with me. You know what it was? The Bible. And you know, as I spoke for a half an hour there, and then open for questions, they gave me an extra half hour.
They must have been enjoying it.
And of course, as I went along, you know, I looked at that piece of that, well, that girl just saved in grade 12. You know what? I can't read expressions all the time, but sometimes you can. You know what that little girl was seeing when he sent me? That's what you're... I'm not trying to make you laugh, but that's what he's trying to tell you. Come on, your conversion. That will suffice. After I finished my little dialogue with him and answered the questions as best I could and kept to the book, Sir Winston Churchill, and what he said, that we must believe absolutely in the total accuracy of the Bible, far better than the telegraph messages that cross our world today. And friend tonight, we do believe that this grand, infallible, indispensable, and eternal book has all the answers for time and eternity.
Now, I remember then, I said, well, the best proof of me believing in the God of creation,
I told him how I read and where God saved them. Friend tonight, listen, God would have you look at the object, the lesson that he wants to tell you, the creator of all things, he called the stars by their names.
I have a little book that was handed to me. It's called Immensity. Every time I read that, I boggle. As that man unfolds, and that's the way back 30 years ago, they've advanced now until they have to acknowledge it's just beyond human comprehension and ability to understand the intricate, complicated workings of our vast creation, friend. Ah, said the psalmist, no problem. He says, when I consider the heavens the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man? I'm so small, I'm so insignificant. Why should I stand against the Almighty? Why should I raise my voice in protest to justify myself? I bow in the dust, said the psalmist, and say, why do you even bother with me? Why do you even look upon me?
Such is the greatness and grandeur and majesty of the God of creation.
I want to get to this. The consideration of the... Imagine God transferring our minds from planets that far exceed and exceed this little ball called planet Earth. And he takes our gaze from the vastness of it. And man sees significance as he looks upon it. You know, the great philosophers, Plato and all those men, you know what they did? They were stargazers, as you know. They wasted their time wrapping in chairs. And they were stargazers, and they would rack them back and forward, and they looked at all those planets, and they only saw very few. We've got great telescopes today, and we can see more. And as they rocked back and forward, the great issues came to them. Where did they all come from? Origin.
And what are they all doing? What's the purpose? Destiny, where are they going to end? That was their mind, friend, their genius mind. They couldn't fathom it.
We can tell you where they originate, why they're there, and where they're going from. And I would like to bring that into my meeting here, at my part of this meeting. I want to tell you where you come from. Origin. And why you're here first.
And where you're going.
Destiny.
Friend, we come from the hand of God. Fearfully, Psalm 139. Fearfully and wonderfully made.
Purpose. God desires that all should be saved. That's in this building. And in our world, friends.
Where are we going?
Oh, that it would touch your heart tonight in reality. Heaven or hell. There's no coming back after the leave of the never exit.
You can't change your mind then. You can't recover then. You can't bring back then, friend. You're gone. It's too late, friend. That brings me to my second little message. Here's what God says. Now I'm taking you from that vast expanse, and I'm taking you now just to a little small, insignificant creature called an ant. A-N-T, ant. And here's what the wise king says in Proverbs. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Look at that little busy ant moving constantly, continually, consistently. Gathering up food in the summertime, preparing for a winter that's coming in the blasts and the storm, preparing for it. Now says God, giving us that object lesson through Solomon, God says, now consider that little ant, because there's a lesson in it. And the lesson is very simple and solemn. We're here just for a summertime. We started at birth, we end at death. It's called a summertime, a time of opportunity. And we're going into it. We're going into a great forever, never to come back. Now take a lesson. If that ant has an instinct built in that prepares in summer for winter, what are you, friend, tonight in the meeting? Are you preparing for the endless, ceaseless, timeless ages of eternity? I thought Mr. Ramsey summed it up well. He wrote a little article in the newspaper in Pittsburgh a number of years ago, and I cut it out. They were opening a new store there, a grocery store. It's supposed to be a supermarket, it'd be small now, but they called it that then. And they had advertised it in the Saturday paper, we're going to open the Monday morning at a certain time. And they were wanting everybody to come, so they put on an attraction to come. And this is what they have. First one to step over the threshold of the door on Monday morning at 9 o'clock gets a free shopping spree. A free shopping spree. 5 minutes. Free shopping. Do you know, friend?
They were there in the hundreds. Everyone was pressing for the door. And a dear lady got there early, stood fast, and she crossed over the threshold of that door, and the bell went, and she got the cart, and she started walking down those aisles. Mr. Ramsey well put it, she didn't go for chewing gum. No, she didn't go for some of those little sweets. You know what she went for? Roast beef. Ham. Turkeys. Anything she could get that was worth something, and put it in the basket. Only 5 minutes, friend. She had it filled.
Then the gong went.
I want you to apply to here. You're here for less than 5 minutes and I didn't hurt. You started at birth, you ended there.
And friend, listen, what are you proving
in your soul?
Have you got Christ?
Have you got what God wants you to have? The Savior, as we've been hearing, the Shepherd, the Savior who died at Calvary. Have you got Him, friend? I remember 38 years ago, I realized that. And friend, yonder on the roadside, a poor, trembling, guilty, vile, hell-deserving sinner in all my lostness and guilt and danger and desperation, I got to see that Christ died for me. He bore my sins, friend. He put away my sins. And that moment I got Christ in the soul, friend. I got a living, dynamic Savior. I've got one that we sometimes sing, I know He lives, because He lives within my heart.
Friend, what about you tonight? What have you got?
Are you still just pondering through earth and going your way without a Savior, without hope, without an anchor, without peace, without, my friend, an assurance that I'm going to be in heaven when I make my exit? Take the lesson, friend. If I learn from the heavens man's insignificance, could I learn from the earth man's ignorance?
Strange that, isn't it? That we had 20 years in ignorance.
Martin McShane put it, when free grace awoke me by light from on high, legal fear shook me, I trembled to die. And with all his theology he was brought up with, my friend, he recognized he was ignorant of the real thing, God's salvation. That's why we're here. We love you. God loves you more, friend. That's why we preach as we do preach. We would like to plead with you tenderly, lovingly, and with tears, friend, in all reality,
that you'll take the opportunity afforded. Grasp it with both hands. And don't miss Christ. Don't miss Christ.
I want to close with this. Consider Him. You know, the title to the book of the Hebrews is the Hebrews. I think you could put a number of titles across that great book of 13 chapters. You could put the Supreme Christ, absolutely and totally. You could also put another title. Consider Him. I want to close this meeting with three things about the Lord Jesus. Consider His down stupid. Consider His sin bearing. And consider Him as the freest leader. Friend, His down stooping, amazing truth from Hebrews 1 right through. We have the great truth of chapter 2. Made a little while lower than the angels. God visited our planet Earth. Friend, you know what the apostle said? Our hands have handled, our eyes have looked upon
the word of life, friend. I'm moving here for 33 and a half years. 30 in private, 3.5 in public view. People gazed upon God as He moved here in the person of the Lord Jesus. The dumb stooping, He left. He left the splendors of heaven, knowing His destiny.
And Freddy came down. I always pause with wonder as I think of that babe, of that child. That child that Simeon held before. That babe that was wrapped in swaddling bands. Oh, I don't feel it the way I would like to. God coming into our world of sin and darkness and night and misery, friend, with all its confusion and its chaos, friend, He came in to this world,
the down stooping of Christ. Amazing. I want to think of the sin bearing. That's why I read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12.
This man, Christ, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Friend, tonight, when I look at Calvary, what an object. I'm going to pause a moment.
Can I ask you tonight, kindly, lovingly, when you ponder the cross and the tree, the sufferings of Christ and a Savior hanging upon a cross. What do you think, friend? What comes out of your mind? Do you just think, well, he must have died as a martyr? Or he was a good man?
Friend, what readily, what quickly comes to your mind without hesitation?
That's a good proof as to where you're going, friend. You know what readily comes to my mind? He bore my sins in His own body on the tree. Yet a dear girl traveled 90 miles, one way, 90 miles home, the rubber Macawin and I were the west of the island,
Never forget it.
Very religious girl. Never smoked, never drank, never gambled, never swore. Brought up in the most strictest of circumstances. She heard Mr. Ramsey speak once, only once, on the truth of the new birth, and she used to dream about it. When we were having the meetings 90 miles in the dead of winter, if you want to know what a winter's like, go to Prince of Verdad. That girl traveled with three dear sisters who were saved in the religious center.
Night after night, that little hall was packed, the little gallery was packed. But you know, you could have preached on the back of your hymn
book, because that girl, Carol, 23 years of age, she was just holding on every word. You know what she wanted? Salvation. She had a lovely little baby. And she used to get someone to look after the baby while she couldn't do anything. She didn't get home at 12 o'clock at dinner.
Listen, friend, you know what I learned from that? If you want to be saved, you go anywhere.
You will not get salvation.
Robbie, you will not get salvation, friend, being half-hearted. You will have to go in for it with all your heart.
And that girl every night, I'll never forget, night after night, I looked at Robert, Robert looked at me and said, boy, that girl really wants it.
And I well remember the night we were going to both speak in a very simple little word. You know, we think we'll have the answers. And I was going to speak on, she only touched the hem of his garment.
And Robert McElwain was going to speak near the neck. Because we were both up in the front and we both knew what we were going to speak on.
Because we're thinking of Colin. Why, I can see you yet walking through the door at 8 o'clock.
See you come in yet?
I said to Rob, Rob, nice sermon, slow that girl, let's see.
And he looked to me and said, God, he said, what am I going to preach on? Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind sweating
and struggling as long as we get Christ, friend.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, friend.
I'll never forget, we passed through the meeting. At the end of the meeting, I shook her hand and I said, Dara, I know.
She said, how do you know? I said, it's see it in your conscience, Gary.
Oh, she said, I got saved today at 5 o'clock. Just in reading this Bible, she said it turned up 1 Peter 2:24. Listen to it. She said, this is the way it appealed to me. Whose own self Christ bare, Carol hides sins. And his own body in the tree. She said, oh God.
My friend tonight, thank God we consider not only the down stooping, we consider the sin bearing of Christ.
Once in the end of the age of the appeared to put away sin.
Unless you think that what we have, friend,
is a kind of a dry thing. I hope you never get that impression when I preach it.
I hope you never get the impression that what we have is something broken
and near the end of the journey
of life. Friend, what we have is real. It's dynamic. It's precious. It's vibrant.
It's sweet. It lasts. It's eternal.
Consider him as a praise leader.
I'm waiting for that day, friend. I sometimes try to catch it in my mind. I'm not a great sinner.
But I'll tell you, I try anyway. But what will it be when that voice begins to sing in the midst of that redeemed company that will be gathered in?
He begins to sing. I don't know what he's going to sing particularly.
But I'll tell you one thing. It will thrill the very heart of God. And it will echo through the corridors of eternity. It will be endless and ceaseless and timeless.
And when that choir joins in with them,
Westminster Abbey won't be in it.
Nah.
Or the Scottish singers or the West singers won't be in it.
Friend, it will be just beyond human comprehension.
I kind of hope tonight that you'll come to Christ. Don't miss the Savior, friend. It's free for you.
That's why we say the Irish like it, because they can shout about it.
Yeah? Then you just like it because you can talk about it.
And the Welsh like it because you can sing about the lovely sinners.
And the Scotch people like it because it's free.
I want to tell you, so it is free tonight. Oh, thank God for this salvation. Could be yours tonight without money, without price. Christ died at Calvary, put away sin. He's going to be the praise leader. We're going to sing him around him eternally. What about you? As I conclude, what are you going to do with Jesus? Just call Christ tonight. And what are you going to do with him? Man, woman, boy, and girl. But Jesus. Our Father, we bow in thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for this one the psalmist could claim as my shepherd. And that his cup run, it runneth over. And we thank thee, Lord, he looked onward to the prospect. And we bless thee, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. We thank thee he saved. And he satisfies. It cost him his death. It cost him the shedding of his blood. It cost him the sufferings of the cross. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast left every one of us without excuse. The heavens are declaring thy glory. Remember, Father, even in that little insignificant ant, thou hast given us an object lesson. Oh God, may some tonight embrace the opportunity. Come to Christ. We thank thee for him. What a consideration. We feel to set him forth as we'd like. We thank thee as none can compare with our beloved Lord. Part us with thy blessing, we pray, and save precious souls in this meeting, this night, for tomorrow might be too late. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One verse of a hymn and the meeting is concluded. Number 239, 200, and we're going to rise and sing verse number 3 of number 239. Verse 3 of 239, standing, please.